sin. All throughout, again, chapter 13, Jesus has been talking about the kingdom and preparing his disciples about the kingdom through parables. He is teaching the disciples so that the disciples can teach others. See, I call this, and I know y'all teachers be proud of professional development, but he's giving them professional development and training so they can go out to tell others, number one, that the Messiah has come, and that they must prepare themselves for the kingdom. And different ways by which they can prepare themselves for the kingdom and what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he says what is now recorded as verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered up every kind. Somebody say every kind. Which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you've been following us through chapter 13, I really, Sister Legend, wanted to title this sermon From Gardening to Fishing. Because if you've been reading your Bible and paying attention, the first part of chapter 13 deals with gardening and planting of seeds. And I thought about preaching from the subject that as a black Baptist preacher got to give you a subject that I want to talk about, from gardening to fishing, but the power changed all that. Because it's bigger than gardening and it's bigger than fishing. So I want to preach this Sunday morning from the subject. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there.
Everybody
talking about heaven ain't going there. This subject is really a quote from Lorraine Hansberry. Lorraine Hansberry has a special place in African-American history. Lorraine Hansberry is the first African-American playwright to have one of her plays perform on Broadway. She is the author of the famous play and Broadway hit, A Raisin in the Sun. Your grandma did not come up with everybody talking about heaven and going. This quote is from our sister, Lorraine Vivian Hansberry, the first African-American to have one of her plays produced on Broadway. Today we honor her legacy and preach from her quote, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. He solicits your prayers and do not cease thinking the Lord amens along the way. When you breathe, you're breathing in oxygen. When you breathe out, you breathe out carbon dioxide. When you breathe in, you breathe in O. When you breathe out, you breathe out CO2. You breathe out carbon that has been utilized in your body so that your body might live. But you also replicate and reproduce one atom of oxygen so that the world and the earth can live. You breathe in one oxygen, but you release two oxygen. And for every creature, we need your amens and we need. For me, for you to talk. talk to me. You need that one oxygen to live. I need that second oxygen to preach. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? I mean, can you breathe like you ain't on oxygen? Can you say amen and be excited what the Lord is about to teach you? It was not until 7 o'clock this morning, 4 hours after Erica Lakin woke up, that I finally understood what the two things had to do one with the other. Why, pray, Lord, does the Lord go from gardening to fishing? From verse 1 to verse 47, he's dealing with gardening. He's dealing with throwing out seeds. He's dealing with how seeds are cast out and what happens when a seed is cast out. He talks about how some fall on rocks, how some fall and go into the wind and blow away in the wind. Talks about those who fall on good ground and in good soil. And he even talks about even those that fall into good soil, sometimes weeds begin to grow up in the good soil. And he talks about wheat and tares and whether it's important, whether one should tear out the weeds that are in the wheat. And he has to deal with that subject two different times because the disciples come back and ask the man, hey, can you teach us and tell us again about that parable, about that information you gave us about how to deal with wheat and weeds? Because in all of our families, on all of our jobs, in all of our schools, you're going to have people that are good wheat, and then you're going to have weeds. Weeds take up the soil. Weeds take up the resources. Weeds take up the water. Weeds take up your energy. Weeds get on your nerves, and God wants you to know how to deal with people that are weeds when you're trying to be wheat. Wheat can be converted into bread. Wheat can be converted into cereal. Wheat can be produced into substances that are useful in life, but you can't do nothing with a weed. And in all of our lives, y'all told me y'all were going to say something to me. In all of our lives and all of our relationships, you got wheat and you got weeds. And so the question happens two times in chapter 13. What do we do when we have to deal with weeds? And God tells us, don't pluck up the weeds again. Don't pluck up the weeds. Let the weeds grow again with the wheat. Because in due season and in due time, God himself will tear up the weeds. One of the problems, again, as I taught you in jobs, especially in church, you've got to be very careful as a pastor. Because there, in every ministry, there are going to be weeds. In every ministry, there are going to be wicked folks. In every ministry, there are going to be people who are going to cause problems. And so you've got to be very careful about tearing up ministries and tearing out people because of one person who has a bad attitude. And everybody wants to stop working. And everybody don't want to do anything. You know, many churches have done a major mistake by firing the choir director, and everybody in the choir stopped singing. Number one, they weren't singing for the right reason in the house. Somebody was going to help me this Sunday. But if you tear up the weeds, you're naturally going to tear out the wheat anyhow. And so the Lord gives us ways that we deal with, even when we are weak and trying to produce for the Lord, how to deal with the weeds in our lives. And he says at the end times, he will do the separating. It is not our job. It is not our responsibility. It is not duty. And you don't need to waste your time dealing with the weeds in your life. Because God will, anybody know God will? God will take care of all the weeds, which he calls tares, that are in your life. And then he switches gears. He goes from gardening to fishing. I wonder, CJ, why does he switch? Why does he go from gardening to fishing? The answer came early this morning. Because both gardening and fishing are dirty businesses. Maybe one reason why I don't do either one. Both of them require you to get your hands dirty. And most of us good Christians don't want to get our hands dirty. You know, we want people to come into the church already saved. We want want people to come into the church already cleaned up. We want people to come into the church already suited and zooted and no proper protocol. That's why I stopped saying I want you to turn to this familiar scripture. You know, sometimes it's that first person's ever time stepping in the church. You know Psalm 23, they ain't never heard it before in their life. But some people ain't no familiar scripture because they ain't never read the scripture before. Sometimes of us, we get real little stuck up sometimes about how people enter the church and act in the church because they haven't been taught proper protocol, because they haven't been raised in the church. And Jesus wants us to know that going after the lost, going after those who are not saved, doing the work of an evangelist, doing evangelism is dirty work. Gardening is dirty work. Fishing is dirty work. Fish ain't clean. Worms ain't clean. The dirt that the worm came out ain't clean. The hook ain't clean. Sitting on the dock of the bay ain't clean. That drink y'all be drinking while you're fishing. Ain't clean. And he wants the disciples to know that this is a dirty business. Because everybody, from the front door to the back door, ain't all that clean. You might have on a clean suit right now because you took it by the dry cleaners. You might have on clean clothes right now because you washed them yourself. But there's still some dirty hearts, even amongst us, and even you who are watching me right now. So he says, the kingdom of heaven, it's like fishing. We go out with a big net, and they take this net, they scrub the bottom of the sea, they pick up every species of fish, and as of 2019, there are 33,000 different species of fish. I know you only know flounder, tilapia, bream, croaker, and grouper, and salmon, and whatever they serve at Captain D's. But there are 33,000 species of fish, and each one of those different species of fish has to be separated. Just as Jesus talks about how the separation of the wheat and the tares will happen at the end day. Let me give you a visual of how this happens, how semen, real semen, and commercial semen, commercial fishermen is a $244 billion business worldwide and a $144 billion business just in the United States of America. It is big business. And these men go out in these big ships. You might have seen it on TV. You might have seen it in the Alaska House. They show it. But if you never seen it, you stuck on Netflix. Let me show you how this happened. Show that video for me if you don't mind. They go out and cast these nets. The nets are so large, they're scraping the bottom of the sea. They pick up everything that is at the bottom of the sea. They just don't go out and have a special net for salmon, have a special net for flounder, have a special net for grouper. Everything that the net picks up is picked up in the net. Then it is put into a receiving bin. All the fish are let out at the same time. Every different species of fish, every different species of crustaceans, everything they don't sell, everything they don't want to sell, but then they go to a distribution center, and then that's where the fish are separated based upon their species. Now, you've got to ask the question, how in the world, and I don't know how in the world you separate, I know a flounder and a catfish look different, but some things look just alike. That's the problem with Christianity, that some of us who look just alike, we look just alike because we done put on a suit, just because we done dressed up, because we got on the choir robe, but we ain't all
the same species. I wish I had a few witnesses up in here. That everybody that acts like a Christian, that everybody that calls themselves a Christian, that everybody that claims they go to Brooklyn, you don't come all the time. You definitely don't tithe all the time. But there is a separation. And that separation will come at the end of time. It's not my responsibility. It's not Erica's responsibility. It's not CJ's responsibility. It's not Chavis's responsibility. It's not Deacon Gill's responsibility. It's none of our responsibility really to know all the species of fish. But it is interesting enough that a fish will tell on itself. Because again, everybody who claims to love my Lord show don't act in a Christian manner. They don't serve. They don't tithe. They don't say amen. They look at you like, what time we get out of here so we can be first in line for the chicken and Publix. They don't have a heart for those who are sick and shut in. They're not praying for those who have COVID. They're not praying for those who are in Texas who lost their lights, and then got a $7,000 bill for lights. They're not praying for those who are the underserved. They're not praying for our government. They're not praying for the preacher. They're not praying for the minister of music, that she might select the right songs to encourage our heart. They're not praying for the praise team leader. They don't know what the Butler family has all gone through. And even if they know what they've gone through, they haven't been praying sincerely for them and being there with them and helping them and encouraging them and really mean anything I can do, just let me know. That's one of the biggest lies you ever heard. Whatever I can do for you, let them know. I tell family when they be telling y'all on funeral, tell them, make them. When they can tell you anything I can do for them, yes, come clean up the house. Come cook us some meal. Come wash these clothes. Come take my children to school. You all be lying for me. Oh, if there's anything I can do for you, child, all in my heart and prayer, just call me. Just one call and call. Show me what you're working with. Brothers and my sisters, this net, just as the day of judgment, will pick up every time. You just saw it. Stephanie picks up everything. The good and the bad. It picks up everything. But God has his own sorting business. He has his own recycling business as well. Because many of us could have been thrown out already and thrown into a junk pile. But ain't you glad that God was able to recycle your soul, recycle your issues, recycle your depression, recycle your disenfranchisement, recycle your discrimination? He's been able to recycle us and make us brand new because the blood of Jesus has washed us. Now we're good for reuse. But he says those that are wicked. And I want you to notice this word in the text because all of us are weak. Every last one of us has weaknesses. Crown Royal. Hennessy. Cavassier. Pinot Grigio. Every disciple only had one glass at the table. Y'all done drink the whole bottle. Marijuana. Ganja. Coke. I don't know what his name is, but that's her weakness. I don't know what her digits are. 24, 36, 28, whatever they mean. I don't know. I asked something because I can't ask y'all because I get in trouble. But everybody got a weakness somewhere. And what's interesting about it is God knows what your weakness is. See, some of y'all don't get excited when the red light come on at Krispy Kreme, but me and CJ get excited when the red light come on at Krispy Kreme. Oh, don't do you, CJ? Don't do you? You know you you get excited when the red light comes on. Oh, no, I forgot your wife makes you. You got your own in-house Krispy Kreme. Well, some of us don't have our own in-house Krispy Kreme. But everybody, tall, dark, and handsome, whatever your little weakness is, everybody got a weakness. Can I get a witness with anybody besides me? Everybody in here got a weakness. And the devil ain't going to tip you with donuts when they know that marijuana is your weakness. The devil knows what gets to you. The devil knows what eats at you. And he's going to deal with that one until the Lord comes. But I want to thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because anybody know the power of the Holy Ghost will take those weaknesses, will take some things out of your life, and now something's going to bother you anymore. I feel like prison a little bit over here. I thought I was just going to teach my little Easter story. But everybody here got a weakness. But everybody here got a God. And there is no weakness that God does not give you a lesson from. Read your Bible. And he's going to separate not the weak, but the wicked. Not the weak, but the wicked. Well, how do I know if I'm just weak or if I'm just wicked? You know when you're weak when you know that it ain't of God. You know you're weak when you're giving it to God, just like Paul gave it to God. You know you're weak when you can't get it right. You can't go back to sleep till you know that the Lord has forgiven you and you repented of your sins. You are wicked when you don't give up. I'm saved now, Erica. I would have said it against you, but I don't think saved when we got in this building. You know you're wicked when you think you can do any and everything you want to do and nobody cares and God don't even care. You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That's when you know when you're wicked, when you don't care about lying on somebody, whether it hurts them or speaks them and changes how people look at them. You know that you're wicked when you steal and don't care that it belongs to somebody else. You know when you're wicked when you know that ain't your man no how. You know when you're wicked when you just don't care. And you don't believe that there are no consequences. But I came here to serve blowers on the devil. There are consequences for every action. If there's a yin and there's a way, if there's an up and there's a down, whatever you do, you will reap whatever you sow. I wish I had some witnesses to believe in the whole Bible. That there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the Bible says that at the end of the day, God is going to separate those of us who are weak and those of us who are wicked. And those of us who are wicked will die, not only once, but they will die twice and go into a lake of fire called hell. And I have been through too much hell down here for me to go to hell again. But I can witness up in here for some mother, some daughter, some sister, some black girl who's been through hell down here, whose husband took them through hell. But you refuse. You refuse to be locked in the team for eternity. That's why you need Jesus as your fisherman. That's why you need Jesus as the captain of your boat. For I heard he's landed. Hey! King Jesus is the captain of my boat. And I've heard that he's landed many a thousand. And one of these days, I want to see him. Anybody beside me want to see him. I want to see him and look upon his face. Never seeing him forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass. I said, cares all pass. Cares all pass. Cares all pass. But I'm going to be home to last. Rejoice. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Somebody say thanks. Thanks. Somebody say thanks. Thanks. Be unto God. Oh!
Let's go.